Early in the week, the federal government announced that it was going to apply child labor laws to the family farm and thus make it illegal for children to do many of the chores required by their family's farm. Later in the week, perhaps in response to the political winds of an election year, the federal government changed its mind, at least for the time being. This governmental flailing about leads us to ask, can the family farm survive without the family?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 772nd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Kowloon who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Got Mikey up there on the phones.
We're both glad to be here.
Hello, Mikey. Folks, I sold my first working tractor at the age of six on a grandparent's farm near Belfry, Montana. Grandpa put me up on the seat of that old red farm all, placed a tractor in the gear and said, just steer it straight and I'll meet you at the end of the row. I remember that experience well, as I was so frightened sitting up there, I peed my pants. But I made it to the end of the row, where Grandpa met me with a big pat on the back and a well done. I am forever grateful for that lesson and for that opportunity to face my fear, as I grew up adept at working machinery of all kinds, from airplanes to boats, autos to trucks, tractors to forklifts. This week, the administration of the federal government ordered its labor department to apply child labor laws to America's family farms. Under these child labor laws, children of farm families would have been prevented from working in the storing, marketing, and transporting of farm materials. Furthermore, the government would have revoked the approval of the safety certification courses taught by independent groups like the 4-H and FFA and replaced them with federal government training courses. Now, under these rules, Grandpa's teaching would likely have been considered child abuse, and Grandpa would have found himself on the hit list of the local Child Protective Services. Well, at least the government has changed its mind for the time being and relented. But all of this flailing about by the government at the family farm and the children on the farm and families on the farm leads us to ask some very interesting questions. Among them, why does the federal government want to apply child labor laws to the family farm? What impact will child labor laws have on the ability of farm children to work and learn? And finally, and perhaps most importantly, can the family farm survive without the family? Well, we've got some very interesting people to help us work over these questions today. We're going to begin with Christy Boswell, who's the Director of Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Christy, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What is the American Farm Bureau Federation for all of us city people?
The American Farm Bureau Federation is the largest grassroots national voice of agriculture. Our membership includes state Farm Bureau organizations from all 50 states and Puerto Rico, and I work directly for the states and work in D.C. to promote the rural way of life and agriculture across the country.
Now, Christy, you know of which you speak, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I grew up on a farm in southeastern Nebraska, and these proposals and a lot of things going on in Washington would have directly affected how I was raised.
Did you ever do chores when you were growing up?
I did, absolutely, and they made me who I am today. From similar to your story, I was, you know, helping my dad irrigate and driving tractors when I was, you know,
way
young,
too young
eight,
to talk
nine,
about
ten,
it, right?
Yep.
Good. And do you think those chores had a bearing on what you became when you grew up, on your abilities to face the world when you grew up?
I learned so much from growing up on a farm and the tradition of agriculture and the work ethic involved. And I saw my dad working long hours on a farm that was once my grandpa's and will hopefully be passed down through generations to my nephew. And it's a way of life. It's exciting, and it makes you realize hard work at its heart.
Great. And you also brought some family farmers with you. We have the Deblers from Alma, Kansas. Let's see. We have Aaron and Randall. Are you there?
Yes, we are. And it's good to be here.
Can you speak up just a little bit? We're a little bit weak on the volume. Can you speak up a little bit?
Is that a little better?
Yeah, a little better.
Okay.
Good. So
glad to be here.
This must be Randall.
Yes, it is Randall. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Randall. We're still a little bit weak. If you could just punch it up a little bit, maybe it'll help.
I think. Okay, how about this?
That's even better.
Any better? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Good. Now, I took a peek at your, thanks to Google Maps, I took a look at your farm today. What beautiful country you're in.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're right in the Flint Hills area of Kansas.
And you have a family farm?
We do. We're a little bit unique in that we're a two-family operation. It's Rock Hill Ranch Incorporated, but our partners are not related to us in any way, and their age is roughly old enough to be our parents. So we're in the generational transfer, but we're not related.
And I see. So then, let's see, we're working the phones here, see if we can get some better sounds, and maybe that'll work. So you have a family farm, though, nonetheless. You have children?
Yes, we have two boys, 5 and 2.5.
Well, now, that's five years old, or pretty much when I was put to work on the family farm. I think, you know, perhaps the first thing I was directed to do was collect eggs. Do your children have chores?
Yes, exactly. And eggs is one of the main chores that they do. You know, we feed the chickens. We just have a handful just for our own use. We sell a couple of dozen to some neighbors, but nothing.
But it's the chores that count. And they
exactly.
Right. So what was your impression when these rules came down the pike this week that essentially said that your children were not going to be able to do any of the farm's work until they're, or the neighbor's farm work, or be trained by the 4-H, or all kinds of things?
Exactly. When I was a youth, I participated in the tractor safety program that was put on by the 4-H. And it allowed me to have a certificate that I participated in this, and I could potentially work for a neighbor prior to me being 16 years of age and operate a tractor. And, you know, I think nobody knows better than what the needs are for my area than the people in my area, such as the local 4-H or the local FFA chapter. The part that struck me right off the bat was that it seemed like the rule was coming from the top down rather than the other way. I couldn't see how somebody in Washington, D.C. knew what would fit for my area.
Well, Christy, you're in Washington, D.C. What are they thinking there?
Honestly, the proposal was vague and so broad and contrary to common sense, and it does show a realization that the Department of Labor isn't in tune with how rural America and farms operate today.
Okay, and when you say vague, what do you mean? I mean, what was vague about it?
The language.
It seems like they were just saying kids can't work on farms anymore.
The proposal designated certain tasks as hazardous, and traditionally the department has always been able to do that, and no one disagrees with that. But how they were written was so broad and vague that it honestly could have prevented a kid under the age of 16 from using a battery-operated screwdriver, and a kid under 16 couldn't ride a horse to herd cattle or even stand on a 6-foot-tall ladder to paint a barn wall. I mean, they were very broad and very vague, and that was concerning.
So in essence, the laws the rules were written in such a way that they could be interpreted in a number of ways and therefore subject to the whim of whoever was enforcing them.
That's exactly right. Along with the explicit prohibitions, such as working in any area of a tobacco field was prohibited. But there were some vague areas, like the power-driven equipment, which is where the battery-operated screwdriver could fall in if an enforcement investigator wanted to apply it that way.
So if you're friends with the inspector, maybe he'll let your child use the screwdriver. But if, for example, you're not friends with the inspector, maybe you find yourself on the list of the Child Protective Services for the federal government, and you're in deep doo-doo. Folks, we're tuned into the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're talking about a government regulation that the federal government brought down this week that said essentially that children would no longer be able to work on farms or to do many of the chores of the family farm. And within a couple of days, they changed their mind and ran for the hills, at least for the time being, on this rule. And so we're trying to come to grips with the rule and figure out what it means. You're invited to participate, 831-479-1080. Right back. Why did the government pass this rule?
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, I recently wrote an autobiography or a biography of a World War II Navy ship, an oral history called Tales from a Tin Can. And in the process of interviewing all of the sailors, I was struck by how many of them came from the Midwest farms. And so one day when I was interviewing the ship's executive officer, I said, tell me, in your experience of working with crew aboard the ship, who made the best sailors? And without 100 millionth of a nanosecond of hesitation, he said, "Give me a farm boy from the Midwest, and I will win the war for you." And so I wonder what will happen to our nation if we get rid of those farm boys from the Midwest and replace them with farm safety, where we rule out all of the dangers on a family farm or from life, and what's going to happen to them. At least that seems to be the direction the federal government wants to take. They certainly are having trouble taking it. So I'm going to ask the Dablers from Kansas and Christy from the American Farm Bureau Federation, Christy Boswell, why did the federal government put these rules on the table, Christy?
The Department of Labor was interested in farm safety, and there's been studies done. This has been kind of a decade-long process where there were some studies done. And you know, America's farmers and ranchers know that agriculture can be dangerous, and no one knows how to protect the kids on their farm better than their parents. And that's what's important from our perspective. But there was, a look at safety and making sure that, tasks that are dangerous were marked as so, and Congress gave them the right to do that. But like I said before, the proposal was so vague that it didn't just cover tasks that were hazardous. It covered a battery-operated screwdriver. I think that goes against common sense to think that a 14-year-old kid can't run a screwdriver.
Well, Randall, you've got two young kids you're bringing up on a farm. Are you going to be able to get rid of all the danger from their lives? So how are you going to approach this?
Well, to get rid of all the dangers in their lives is an impossible task. First of all, we're parents first here. So safety is always at the forefront of what we do with our children, especially. there's no way to exclude all the dangers that you're going to come across. The best thing you can do is bring them into an experience to know, you know, this is the potential of what could happen, and this is why, and these are the things to look out for. And those kind of thought processes will stick with them for the rest of their life. You know, you were talking about all kinds of machinery that you operate. When you're doing something that's new and you think, you know, if I drive this forklift over here on this little bit of unlevel ground and I lift this heavy thing way up high, what's the potential that could happen here? And those things are learned at a young age, and they'll stick with them for the rest of their life.
So why did the government lay these rules on the table? Do you think it's about food safety?
It's about farm safety, and at least that's what the proposal said, and I can't speak directly to the Department of Labor's intent, but it would have had a dramatic effect on farm families and how farms operate, and we couldn't let that happen.
Let me ask it another way. Who is the government trying to make family farming safe for?
That's a good question. I would like to believe, and I do think the intent was to protect, you know, youth on farms and make. The department has said that they wanted to, you know, have parity or alignment with the non-ag sector. But the truth of the matter is, Congress treated agriculture differently under the act that we're working under, and that was Congress's decision. And it's not up to us to decide. There's different environments in agriculture versus working at your local Walmart or McDonald's, and that's why Congress recognized that.
Well, in scanning the press on this, the people who are quoted as to be in favor of these rules and regulations come from organizations like Association of Farm Worker Programs and whatnot. So this smells like union to me. Am I wrong?
There was union involvement and child labor protection groups that were involved as well, supporting the proposal.
Well, Randall, do you get this sense?
Do you get the sense that
this is a union thing?
You know, to be honest with me, with you, I've been scratching my head ever since the rules come out. Why they chose to do this, and you know, when they talk about the safety aspect, for the last several years, slowly but surely, the number of accidents has been coming down. So that's not a real good reason. I couldn't, you know, determine. I was really at a loss as to the actual motivation behind it.
Well, you know, I wonder about that, too. When we were getting ready for the program, my wife was looking at the statistics on where the danger is, and it seems like the danger's really in the streets of the city. I mean, that seems to be like where children are having the trouble, and it doesn't seem to be like they're having that much trouble on the farm.
I heard an interesting comparison here the other day, and I have to give credit to Trent Luce. He's the one that came up with it. A young person dies on the farm tragically every 15 days on the average. And a young person dies at school from a cardiac arrest once every 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I think that's important. Congressman Flake of Arizona, at a hearing on this issue, asked Secretary Solis, the labor secretary, gave an example. He had an injury on a farm and where he had lost the stub of his finger, and his wife had been injured in a basketball game, tore her ACL, and he said, you know, I've had, you know, this finger has not affected my life at all, but she still to this day deals with issues with her, you know, knee, and the concept of protecting, you know, or banning girls from playing high school sports or boys from high school sports is not an option or not being considered. I mean, there's risks and people are involved in that, and you try to protect yourself as much as you can.
Well, let's go to the phones and see what some of our callers have to say. We're going to start with Christine, who's calling from New York City or New York State, one of the two. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Very good.
I'm actually from Long Island. You wrote an article for my magazine a couple of months ago, New Living,
on
the GMOs. How are you doing?
Welcome.
Good. I have a question. It seems to me that we're moving more and more into a nanny state and where the government wants to control every aspect of our lives. And I'm just wondering how this new rule is going to affect Amish people.
Goodness.
That actually was a concern of our Pennsylvania members. One thing that is important to note about the rule, it is an employment relationship, a work relationship. However, I know that in the Amish communities, these children are working for neighbor farms or their early age, and really across America, and it would have directly affected them.
And there you go.
So, you said the rules now are pending, or they've been shelved?
They've been shelved.
Yeah.
The administration announced on Thursday that they will withdraw the entire proposal and will not be pursuing it any further, which is great news and a triumph for agriculture.
Okay, great.
Do you believe Do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe that it won't be happening. The release said through the Obama administration, I will tell you, are going to be on our toes and watching it and working with members of Congress to put language in legislation to make sure that family farms are protected.
Thank you, Christine, for the call. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're talking about the child labor laws put forth by the federal government this week to essentially prevent children of family farms from doing many of the chores that have traditionally been done by children over the millenniums. To make farms safe for children, I guess that's what they say. We have Christy Boswell with us, who is the Director of Congressional Relations, American Farm Bureau Federation. We have Randall and Aaron Debler from the Alma, Kansas area, beautiful farm country out there. And we have you. The phone number is today, 831-479-1080. A question, when I was scanning the news this morning, there was this wonderful quote, and I'd like you to consider this. If I wanted America to fail, I'd ban kids from farm work. Right back. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, earlier this week, the federal government put forth rules that would have prevented children from doing much of the work of their family farms. But among those rules was a provision that would have revoked the approval of safety certification courses taught by independent groups like the 4-H and FFA and replaced them with federal government-approved training courses. I read that and about fell out of my chair. Are we going to have, the TSA agents spread throughout rural America, making certain all of the family farms are safe? What's going on? Christy?
First, I want to clarify something. The proposal was introduced last fall by the Department of Labor.
That's correct.
And I want to give credit where credit is due, because without the 10,000 comments of farmers and ranchers across the country, I don't think we would be where we are today, and members of Congress. And so it's been a long effort. The press this week has been really active on it, and has been a whirlwind, to say the least. But part of that, you're correct, was the student exemption part of it, and it changed the training program from your local 4-H or FFA and required more federal involvement in the training programs. And it also, there was exemptions for student learners in a lot of areas before the proposal, and those were restricted a lot as well. So even if you did go through the training, you could only do a limited amount of tasks compared to what you could have done before the introduction.
Well, Randall, what did you think? You're a graduate of 4-H classes. What did you think when you saw that the federal government wanted to, I guess, do away with 4-H classes?
First thought was, I wonder how many Department of Labor offices there are in the state of Kansas, and I believe there is only one, and that would be in the far northeast corner around the Kansas City area. So I thought, that's not going to work out too good. I'm not sure how they plan on implementing it in all 105 counties in our state. So,
Wouldn't not there have been 105 new government bureaucracies in Kansas to make sure that you're doing things safely?
I would think that that was my fear, because that would be what would happen. It seemed like a waste of resources in this economic times that we're in that we don't need to have.
What's going to happen if we remove all the dangers from our children as they're growing up, Randall? I mean, you've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and you're raising them. And what would happen to them if life was made safe for them?
You know, that's a real good question. How would they function on their own as adults?
Exactly.
If they never knew, you know, that things are dangerous, and you have to pay attention to.
And you have to. And you have to protect yourself, and you have to think for yourself.
Exactly. Well,
what's going to happen to them?
It wouldn't be good. I'm not sure that, you know, a child who brought up that way could function in today's society. You know, they would be taken advantage of, for one thing, I would suppose. And you know, so many things we do every day are dangerous, and you have to pay attention to what you're doing. So,
Christy, what do you think? You were raised on a farm. You grew up an intelligent young lady. You became an attorney. You're working with the American Farm Bureau Federation. You're a warrior of the marketplace.
I can tell you, growing up on a farm made me a hard worker, made me understand risks, made me appreciate hard work, and I wouldn't be where I am today without that. And it also instills a tradition. I wanted to lobby for agriculture and work in agriculture because of that background, and to, you know, help, you know, people, family farms like my dad, who is out there day in, day out, raising, you know, food for the world.
Okay, let's go to the phones, 831-479-1080. You're invited to participate. We have Christy Boswell, Director of Congressional Relations, American Farm Bureau Federation. And we also have Randall and Aaron Debler, who are farmers in Alma, Kansas, have 2 young children. Raising them on the farms, what do you think, Jay? Are you there, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was on a farm as a kid. My mom was on a farm as the second youngest out of 12. They got milk farms and everything back in Ohio. And, well, see, if they do something like that to us, well, then all the kids in the city should get permits to ride a bike, should get permits to walk across the street, because I don't want to see anybody ever get hurt.
There it is. Thank you very much for that comment, Jay. Let's go quickly to Margaret. Margaret, what do you have to say?
Right on, Jay. Right on, Jay. You know, I'm surprised Christy wasn't brainwashed by her professors in the university. That's just awesome. She survived her.
Well, that's a good, great question. Christy, how'd you survive?
Because I'm a farm girl, you know, I always joke you can take the girl out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the girl, and it's true. And I was an agricultural economics major, and I, you know, am an attorney and have an agricultural certificate on in law. So it's something that's straight to my heart, and I only got that because I was changing irrigation gates when I was 7 years old.
Right. We have a school here called New Brighton School, and they would be essentially shut down because they teach all their little kids how to garden here at the farm, at their little farm gardens that they have at New Brighton School.
Margaret, let me ask you this. What's going to happen when we take all the danger out of our children's lives?
Oh, my gosh. I grew up in 4-H. I was a Girl Scout. My dad was an manager of a cooperative, 2 cooperatives, actually. And all my aunts and uncles were farmers. My grandparents were farmers. Every summer we went to Grandma's summer camp.
Yeah, but what's going to happen when we take that away?
Well, they're going to become federal government. The government is trying to seize all of our food sources and small businesses. It's just pure tyranny, and we need to find out every government official that signed this bill, and we need to put them on the enemy watch list.
All right. Thank you very much for that comment. Wow. Let's go to Jack. Jack, what do you think?
You better talk to them.
Jack, are you there?
Yep. Yes. Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the food chain. Fire away.
Oh, hi. First thing I wanted to mention is I don't understand what the big deal is about the Midwestern farm boys. They're all a bunch of none of them ever. They're all a bunch of dry farmers out there anyway. What about the Intermountain West farm kids?
Well, they're probably pretty intelligent as well, don't you think?
The proposal would have applied across the board in a lot of ways. You know, American Farm Bureau represents the gamut across the country, and you know, there's teens working, you know, picking apples in Washington State or sweet potatoes in North Carolina that would have been directly affected as well.
Well, just about everybody.
How about illegal immigrants and migrant working kids? Are they going to be covered by this?
As the proposal was introduced, anyone under the age of 16 that was working would have been affected by the proposal.
Anybody under the age of 16, and then anybody under the age of 18 had certain restrictions as well. So it's pretty near all children under the age of majority would not have been able to do many of the chores that it takes to run a family farm. And so we're going to ask when we come back, can the family farm survive without the family? And does that have something to do with what's going on here? Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking with Christy Boswell, American Farm Bureau Federation, Randall Debler of the farm in Alma, Kansas, and you, 831-479-1080. Right back. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain radio program. Michael Olson here. We're at 831-479-1080. I think I lost... lost somebody. I think I lost the Dablers right there. Might check on that for me, Dave. And today we're talking about child labor laws and just how safe we can make the family farm for our children. And we have on the line with us Christy Boswell, who is a director of congressional relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation. And you were at 831-479-1080. And Christy, I was just thinking about this when I was this through the week, because coming from a farm background and watching the activities of farms so intently as I do with running this radio show, I just got to wondering what's going on here. And I really wonder if the American farm, as we know it, can survive these kinds of laws. It seems like these kinds of laws are really, in making the farm safe, we're actually making them so safe that nobody can operate them anymore. What do you think?
And I think what you lose especially is the training and, you know, instilling that way of life in children, and that's why farms have passed from generation to generation. It's unique in that it is something that's ingrained in you. I have an 8-year-old nephew who my sister can't stop him from helping grandpa on the farm because he loves it. He's a farm kid and he wants to be out there in the dirt and helping and working and farming. And that's different than a lot of other careers. And that's why it has to be protected and the family farm needs to be protected.
Well, can the family farm survive without the family? I mean, can the family farm survive as an economic unit without children working on the farm? I mean, I think back to my grandparents' farm, and I think its principal crop was people, kids. And there were kids to do the work. And can the family farm survive without kids?
I don't think it can, honestly, and it may, you know, survive a generation, but then where will it go? It won't get passed on because that child didn't have the experience and didn't, you know, get it ingrained in him or her at a young age. The family farm would have been greatly impacted had these proposals went through.
Well, I guess so. They probably would not have been able to survive. Let's see, gun. And put them on the line. Well, Randall, thanks for joining us. I don't know what happened. We lost the caller. But the question was, can a family farm survive without children on the farm, with the family's children? Can a family farm survive without a family?
My wife, actually. She's got an interesting perspective. It's Aaron.
Aaron?
Yes. Thank you, Randall. I think the question, Michael, should be, can the family farm survive without the family? It's more, does the family farm want to survive without the family? And that the answer to that question is a resounding no, because that's why we're in this business. It's everybody's dream in agriculture to be able to press the traditions and the legacy and the heritage that we are building here today onto the next generation. And for us, that's our sons. Randall and I both agree that our best experiences we had as children was working side by side by our parents. And, you know, it's our greatest hope that we can provide those experiences and those memories and those opportunities for our sons.
Aaron, today. What happens if we, as a society, break that bond between parent and child in order to make life safe for the child?
you lose the hard work ethic and the responsibility and the values that we have gained by working out on the farm side by side. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, any parent can work with their child, even in town, and still have those same values. But if you take, in the essence of safety, and take that away, you just take the hard work ethic out of the children.
And once you take the hard work ethic out of the children, when they grow up, what happens to them?
They become dependent on government or on something else to take care of them.
Do you think that's where this is all headed?
One has to wonder, I think. You know, part of me hopes not. I always look for the best in people, and I always give everyone the benefit of the doubt. So I hope that is not the reason. But essentially that will be the effect if these things go in where we're trying to make everyone safe and wrap them up in bubble wrap. It makes them dependent upon someone else to provide the things that they need and to keep them out of harm's way, because they don't know how to handle themselves in times when things aren't particularly safe.
I think the heart of the issue is, too, if a government can regulate what a parent can do with their children on a farm or in their own home, what's off limits? And that's what this proposal raised. I know for a lot of members of Congress, that was their top concern, is where does it stop if parents are regulated on farms with their own children?
Yeah.
And that would seem to be, if we're going to teach children about safety and about thinking about how to approach danger and teach them about the value of work and the work ethic, that would seem to be the best place to do it. It would be the relationship of a parent and a child in a real situation. And yet it seems like that's what we're trying to take away. We have a few minutes, and when we come back, I'd like to ask all, including those callers, a question that was, I'd like to respond to a statement that I read from a politician this morning while having breakfast. And the politician said, "If I wanted America to fail, I'd ban kids from farm work." This is The Food Chain. We will be right back. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain radio program. This from the morning's paper. "If I wanted America to fail, I'd ban kids from farm work." Well, how would you respond to that? I almost fell out of my chair all time this morning. Aaron and Randall, Debler from Alma, Kansas, how would you respond to that assertion?
It's an interesting point of view, and I can't think that it would be inaccurate. You know, you learn at a young age that some tasks are dirty and some tasks are physically taxing and are hard and long, and you just do it anyway because that's what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Aaron?
Yeah, I agree that it's that spirit of never giving up. It's hard to describe unless you experience it yourself, but you become the best type of employee you can be when you live and work on a farm side by side with your parents.
Christy Boswell?
And not only the traditions that you learn and the hard work ethic, but from a practical standpoint, had these proposals went through, the teens wouldn't have been able to earn money for college or to take the next step in their lives, whether they went on to stay in agriculture or do something else. And, you know, there's no McDonald's down the street where I grew up, but there's farm families, and that's how you help. So I think the statement is accurate in the traditional sense of hardworking skills and values that you learn, and also a practical standpoint.
And yet that's what we seem to be trying to do. Let's go to the phones really quickly. Gino, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great topic. I would like to put my two bits in. I understand that, first of all, I would like to thank all the farmers of the United States of America that they worked so hard to put food on our table, because, like everybody says, no farms, no food. And, yes, it's important that farmers with their families, there won't be no farmers. I mean, it's important that families stick together to pursue a continue for the same business and pass it on to their children. It's important. Also, too, it is important to teach our children working ethic, and to teach responsibility and the danger that is right with it. And you have to teach them from a very young age. And that's the job as a parent, not only on the fields of a farm, skills even, on anything, on construction. I've been a construction man for many years. I put 37 years of construction work in this country here.
Really quickly, Gino, do you think the family farm could survive without the family?
No. It has to have the family.
Got it. Thank you very much. We're going to go quickly to Dean. Dean, can the family farm survive without the family?
No, and one more thing real quick. The number one way to create a criminal is to prevent the person from working.
And boy, we have a lot of criminals these days, don't we?
Well, too many. When one of the best rehabilitations for a criminal is to actually put them to work, and then they become a contributing member of society, and their morale goes up, and they're not a criminal anymore. So thank you. You got lots of calls, so thanks.
Well, thank you very much for that call. Really appreciate it. So do you see this law coming back, Christy? They say it won't, but what do you think?
I think we have a victory right now, and we appreciate the administration for using common sense and withdrawing the proposal. Like I said earlier, the press release and the word from the administration and the Department of Labor is that they're not going to be pursuing the proposal, but we are continuing to work with members of Congress and to protect the family farm and to put legislation together that could, for instance, prevent funding or block funding for any such proposal and make sure that farms are safe.
Well, I want to thank Christy Boswell, Randall, and Aaron Debler, and thank all of you for tuning in next week for more What's Eating What Radio. Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.